thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is presented by preaching minister Josh Yeager. Let's tune in now for Josh's message.
All right, so like I said earlier, we did have a rough week this week, and you know, for those of you who maybe aren't part of our church family, or maybe you're a guest here, or maybe you just don't know what happened, Arrow passed away Monday night, and so we've had a rough week this week as a church, and you know, this is not something that you get over. This is something that you get through. You don't get over the loss of a young life. It's not the natural order of things. It's something that you get through. And as I was thinking about what to say this morning, I actually had an original idea on Friday that I scrapped. And so the picture on the screen doesn't go. So you can darken that or black it or whatever. And on the front of the bulletin, it doesn't go either. So that has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. This morning, it's just kind of one of those things where this whole week I've just been listening to voices, and I've been reading and talking to people and trying to hear people who have gone through difficult moments like this. And I happened to run across a pastor named Levi Lusco, who wrote a book, by the way, that I ordered, but I don't have it yet. But I heard him speak, and he spoke on how his experience with losing his young five-year-old daughter to an asthma attack, and I heard him speak, and I was just inspired by what he said. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning is inspired by him, and I entitled the message "Cue the Eagle," and you guys will understand that at the end. So you have no idea what "Cue the Eagle" means right now. So as we think about what happened this week, with the loss of a young life, there's one thing that unites us all. And the one thing that unites us all is that we are all going to die, and we are all afraid of it. We're all afraid of it. We're all kind of scared of the moment when we passed on. We're scared of the moment when other people pass on. It's not something that we look for. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm ready to go anytime. Yes, you are, but you don't go step in front of a bus. Or you don't, you know, decide to become a fledgling matador, you know, or decide to test out a new parachute that, you know, they think will be the next big thing in parachutes. I mean, nobody wants to be the test subject for that. So maybe you're ready, but it's still something that we're afraid of and something that we are concerned with. But the reality that we all know is that you can't run, and you can't hide. We all fear death, and we all want to remain alive, and we want others around us to remain alive. In fact, even the Apostle Paul fears death in a sense, and he wants to keep it from happening to those he loves. In the Philippian letter, Paul says this to the Philippians, and he's talking about a co-worker of his. He says this in verse 25. He says, but I think it is necessary. Oh, sorry, you don't have this on the screen. Philippians 2:25. I always forget. If you want to turn there, Philippians 2:25, or you can open up your Bible app. I think I saved the event on there, so you can look through. It has all the scriptures there, the YouVersion Bible app. So Philippians 2:25-27, Paul says this. He says, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul here is pointing out that if Epaphroditus had died, he would have experienced sorrow upon sorrow, and he believes that God spared him from that. And the idea of this sorrow upon sorrow is the idea of you being in an ocean, and a wave, you know, breaks over you and knocks you down, and then you sputter up and you come up, and another wave comes and knocks you down. It's actually a seafaring term that Paul uses here. And if you've ever been caught in the undertow, if you've ever been caught in the ocean, you wander too far out, you've experienced this idea that Paul is portraying with his words, this idea of just one wave coming and hitting you over and over again. And Paul thanks God that he was spared sorrow upon sorrow, but sometimes you're not spared sorrow upon sorrow. And sorrow is like that. It hits you in waves. If you've ever lost somebody that is special to you, that you love, it's just out of the blue. All of a sudden, something triggers it, and it hits you. And then you just seem to drown underneath it because it hits you relentlessly. And sometimes we don't think about this, but Paul, who knew that heaven was real, still was going to be sorrowful and sad if his friend died. I mean, he knew that heaven was real. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about how he knew somebody who had been caught up to the third heaven. Now, we can talk later about what the third heaven is, but he knew somebody who had been caught up to the third heaven. Now, many scholars believe that this is actually Paul referring to himself in the third person, because it's possible, you know, when he was in Acts chapter 14, when he was stoned in Lystra, not by weed, but by rocks, okay? He was stoned by rocks, and he was taken outside the city and left for dead. Maybe you'll think that maybe he died and God raised him back to life. But here's Paul. He was going to be sad and sorrowful that a friend died. He would have experienced sorrow upon sorrow, like waves rolling in, sputtering and trying to get air. And the reality that we can see here is that hurting with hope still hurts. It's still difficult. Hurting with hope still hurts. But even though it hurts, I want us to listen to these words by Paul once again in 2 Timothy. And these are his words, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy in this little letter. And these are most likely Paul's last words to Timothy. And Paul knows that he's coming to the end of his life. You can read that in 2 Timothy. And so he's just trying to encourage his young protege, the one that he has kind of trained up in the faith and sent off on mission works and things like that. And he says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." What a powerful passage at a moment like this. "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Now, obviously, Paul here is talking about suffering for the gospel, but I think what he's about to tell us speaks truth into whatever suffering you're experiencing. He says this in verse 9, "Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." But listen to this, this is important. "But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's big, right? That's huge. I mean, what did you do today? You know? I'm sure it was nothing even close to this. Think about the biggest thing that you've ever accomplished in your life. It's nothing compared to this. He beat death. He destroyed death and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through this incredible story. I mean, just sit there and soak in that for a moment. I mean, death is a huge part of our world. I mean, it's the one thing that everything in this world has in common. You started, you will end. Everything in this world has that in common. It will start, it will end. Nothing stays forever. Death is part of life. It's a hard part of life, but it's a part of life regardless. And in his few years on earth, Jesus destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. I mean, it's what we're looking for. It's what we're searching for. I mean, everybody's searching for this. I don't care if you're a Christian or if you're a Buddhist or if you're a Muslim, or it doesn't matter who you are. If you're an atheist, you're looking for life. You're trying to eat good. You're trying to exercise. Maybe you're even getting new parts put in you. Okay? Maybe you're going to the doctor to stay healthy. We all want to live longer. We want to have fun. We want to have the thrills. We want to have life. And when somebody doesn't get to, we're sad for them. Yet Jesus destroys death and brings life and immortality to light. Have you ever been destroyed? I've been destroyed before. My senior year in football, we went out, we drove about 4 hours. I lived in Longmont, Colorado. We drove 4 hours to the east, northeast, to go up to a place called Potter, Nebraska. Anybody heard of Potter, Nebraska? It's a little tiny town. You can't even hardly find it on MapQuest. It's not even, I mean, it took me a while to find it. But it's this little tiny town, and we went to this, you know, to play these Nebraska farm boys, and we got destroyed in football. I mean, just destroyed. I think I got bruised ribs. I think half of our starters were injured and out of the game. We just got destroyed. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus did to death. Death is destroyed. It is over. It has no power. And this is the promise that anchors us during the storms of life and during the loss of life. It's the promise that anchors us during Saturday. And you're like, Saturday. I love Saturday. You know, boating and fishing, and for me, bike riding, or maybe you enjoy mowing or sleeping in. You know, if you're at the Jaeger house on Saturday, we have pancakes and sausage. That's what we do. Yeah, Brighton's like, yeah, we have pancakes and sausage. But I'm not talking about that Saturday. I'm talking about the Saturday, the Saturday when Jesus was in the grave. And the disciples didn't know what to do. They had the promise of Jesus, but they didn't know what to do because Jesus' body was cold and decaying in a tomb on Saturday, and hope was lost. Saturday can be all kinds of things in life. It doesn't just have to be death. It can be the cancer that you find in your body. It can be the loss of your job, of your means of living. It can be a crippling accident. It can be a father committing adultery. It can be your kids getting divorced. It could be your son rebelling. There's all kinds of ways to look at life, and there's all kinds of things that we can call Saturday. And I just want to end with four ways to make it through Saturday. Four ways to make it through Saturday. Because I believe that we all hit Saturday. I mean, as a church, we're in Saturday right now. So I just want to give you four suggestions for making it through Saturday. And the first one is this. Remember that heaven is nearer than it seems. A lot of times we look around at this world and it seems like heaven is so far off. Because this world is so messed up. And there's so much stuff that happens in this world that just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to make sense with a good God. But let me tell you something. Heaven is more real than this world. It's more real than this world. It will last longer than this world. And you know what? We are connected to heaven. We are connected to heaven. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth, where moss and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says this to his disciples. You are connected to heaven. What you do now matters. We are connected to heaven. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, set your eyes on things above where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You see, we are connected to heaven. It's nearer than it seems. And as we focus on heaven, that brings me to number two, we must stick together. So not only do we have to remember that heaven is nearer than it seems, we have to stick together. I mean, this is why we as a church have life groups. We minister to one another. We spend time together weekly at home. We check on one another. We love one another. We eat together. We talk about God's word together. This is what life groups are all about. You know, as difficult as Monday night was, there was a host of people in that hospital room for the Smiths. Stick together. You know, we're told multiple times and in multiple places in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, several places, encourage one another. Encourage one another. You can't encourage one another without presence. You think, oh, I sent them a text. Not as good as presence. Oh, I said I'll pray for them on Facebook. Not as good as presence. Number three, don't ignore the pain. Don't ignore it. Whenever we suffer pain, it's easy to run away from our pain. It's easy to run to beer or to food or to busyness or to the TV or to anything that can distract us and get our minds off of the junk that we're going through. But let me tell you something. That junk makes you into a new version of you. Paul talks about how we are being renewed even as this flesh is wasting away. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, the trials, the struggles, the pain, it's meant to fold you and make you into what God wants you to be. Don't ignore it. It's hard. We want to run away. We want to keep it at arm's length. We want to not think about it. We don't want to wrestle with it. But it's part of who God is shaping you to be. And finally, cue the eagle. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I just have to tell you a little bit about Isaiah. So Isaiah is really hard to read. I've wrestled with reading Isaiah ever since I tried to read through the Bible. Isaiah was one of those books, along with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Leviticus, that I just couldn't get. I just had a hard time getting through. This year I decided that I was going to work my way through Isaiah under the tutelage of Walter Brueggemann. And if you're not a Bible nerd, you have no idea who that guy is. But he wrote a great commentary, and I'm just working my way through Isaiah. Isaiah is basically, it's based off of the idea the ministry of a, you know, 8th century prophet who was speaking into Israel, trying to get them to turn back to God. And the work that we have before us in Isaiah is probably the final compilation of an entire community who had focused on Isaiah's teaching. And what was promised in Isaiah is that you were going to suffer. You were going to suffer because they had fallen away from God. But the last chapters of Isaiah are a vision of what God's going to do. And I believe that this vision of what God's going to do is not just relegated to the nation of Israel. It is meaningful for all of us. And so when we read this in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, we hear who God is and what he does. So listen to this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So what I mean by cue the eagle is find your strength in the Lord. Find your strength in the Lord. Four ways to make it through Saturday. Remember that heaven is nearer than it seems. Stick together. Don't ignore the pain. And cue the eagle. Look for strength in the Lord. Let's continue in worship this morning.